ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय विज्ञाय निर्विजगतं पथिं व्रजा रोहितामात्य सुहृद्गणादयः विचिक्युर्व्याम् अतिशोककातरा यथा निगूढं पुरुषं कुयोगिनः विज्ञाय निर्विद्य कथं पथिं व्रजा रोहितामात्य सुहृद्गणादयः विचिक्युर्व्याम् अतिशोककातरा यथा निगूढं पुरुषं कुयोगिनः विज्ञाय. After understanding, nirvidya, being indifferent, gatham, had left, patim, the king, praja, all the citizens, purohita, priests, amatya, ministers, suhrit, friends, gana adayaha, and people in general, vichikyuhu, searched, urvyam, on the earth, atishokakata raha, being generally aggrieved, yata, just as, nigodham, concealed, purusham, the supersoul, ku yoginaha, inexperienced mystics. Translation: when it was understood that the king had indifferently left home, all the citizens, priests, ministers, friends, and people in general were greatly aggrieved. They began to search for him all over the world, just as a less experienced mystic searches out the supersoul within himself. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The example of searching for the supersoul within the heart by the less intelligent mystics is very instructive. The Absolute Truth is understood in three different features, namely, impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such ku-yoginaha, or less intelligent mystics, can, by mental speculation, reach the point of impersonal Brahman, but they cannot find the Supersoul, who is sitting within every living entity. When the king left, it was certain that he was staying somewhere else. But because the citizens did not know how to find him, they were frustrated, like the less intelligent mystics. There's one more verse that completes the chapter, and I want to read the first verse because the flows. Text 49. When the citizens could not find any trace of the king after searching for him everywhere, they were very disappointed. And they returned to the city where all the great sages of the country assembled because of the king's absence. With tears in their eyes, the citizens offered respectful obeisances and informed the sages in full detail that they were unable to find the king anywhere. In text 1, the great sage Maitreya continued, "O great hero Vidura, the great sages headed by Bhrigu were always thinking of the welfare of the people in general. When they saw that in the absence of King Anga, there was no one to protect the interests of the people, they understood that without a ruler, the people would become independent and non-regulated." That sounds like America. What's the problem? Oh, purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the significant word is kshema darshanaha, which refers to those who are always looking after the welfare of the people in general. All the great sages, headed by Bhrigu, were always thinking of how to elevate the people of the universe to the spiritual platform. Indeed, they advised the kings of every planet to rule the people with that ultimate goal of life in mind. The great sages used to advise the head of state, or the king, and he used to rule the populace in accordance with their instruction. After the disappearance of King Anga, there was no one to follow the instructions of the great sages. Consequently, all of the citizens became unruly, so much so that they could be compared to animals. Sounds like America. As described in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, human society must be divided into four orders according to quality and work. In every society, there must be an intelligent class, administrative class, productive class, and worker class. In modern democracy, these scientific divisions are turned topsy-turvy and by vote. Shudras or workers are chosen for administrative posts. Having no knowledge of the ultimate goal of life, such persons whimsically enact laws without knowledge of life's purpose. The result is that no one is happy. Sounds like America. Doesn't say that in the purport. That's my comment. So, we've been hearing the previous verses about King Anga's dilemma, not having a son, doing a special yajna, getting a son, and he was a monster. Not just like, you know, talk back and things like that, but or too playful and a little noisy during Bhagavatam class or something like that. He was going into the forest and with his bow and arrows and deliberately, maliciously killing animals. He'd go in the playground during recess at school and kill his school friends mercilessly. He was not a nice boy. So he tried to discipline him, no good. Tried so many things, no good. He was incorrigible. So he began to lament. How fortunate are those who have no son. They must be blessed by the personality of Godhead to have no son. Because one who has a son like this, it destroys all of one's religious activities. It brings irreligion into the lives of everyone. How horrible grieving in this way. Then he flipped around and said, actually, he's my best friend because he's teaching me detachment from family life. And apparently he got really absorbed in the mood of detachment from family life. And the last verse was he just, in the middle of the night, not being able to sleep, he just got up and left. In a mood of detachment. Not only left physically, but he left his attraction for the opulence of his kingdom and the power of his being king and all of the stateliness that goes with a high position. He left. He left any attraction for those things. So now this verse, where's the king gone? So everybody looked in all directions over the whole earth. Urvyam, because he was the king of the earth. These are descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. That's the title of the chapter. So Uttanapada was ruling the world. And Dhruva was ruling the world, and the descendants of Dhruva were ruling the world. It wasn't the United Nations, it was one nation under one king. And they looked everywhere, they couldn't find him. The comparison Prabhupada is mentioning, so we'll go there a little bit. The verse says, like the inexperienced yogi, ku yoginaha, inexperienced yogi, kind of like a contradiction, an inexperienced mystic. You're either a mystic or you're not, and these were not. Those who are not mystics who are searching for the super soul can't find him. Super soul is the source of everyone's ability to remember, ability to forget, ability to have intelligence, ability to not have intelligence, ability to do anything. Super soul is the source of that ability to walk, ability to. Modern science has a whole other idea, but our Vedic understanding is that super soul is supplying intelligence. Remember one lecture, Prabhupada was describing a plant growing towards the sun, and you move the plant, and it's facing the other way, and after some time it moves and it grows towards the sun. So the scientists, Prabhupada is explaining, they have their explanation. The photosynthetic process, it happens like, you know, on a cellular level and blah, blah. The fact, rather, the Vedic teaching is the plant has intelligence. Our super soul supplies intelligence. Grow towards the light. So there's mechanisms that you can measure that shows growing towards the light, but it's the intelligence supplied by super soul. Wherever there is activity of any kind, behind the activity, there's some intelligence. Prabhupada described when he was a small boy, he saw the, I don't know what you call those things, electric trains. There's a rod that goes up to a wire, and the train goes zoom, zoom, zoom. So Prabhupada held a stick up in the air and was thinking he could just like, touch the wire and zoom, zoom, zoom. Be like the electric train. Or he described one time when he heard a radio for the first time. So he was trying to figure out, where's the band inside the radio playing the music? Looking. So electronic things or machines can make it appear that something is just happening, but the machine has a designer, and their machine also has an operator. Machines, even robots that go and do things, there's a remote control. So wherever there's activity, there's the six symptoms, there's a soul present. So at best, the speculators, by process of gyan, at best, one can come to the platform of Brahman realization. But without further qualification, they can't come to understand Supersoul, and where is the Supersoul, have audience with the Supersoul. That's takes great qualification. And like the ku yoginaha, or the inexperienced yogi, can't find the Supersoul for the life of him, the followers of King Anga couldn't find him anywhere. He was somewhere, and they looked everywhere, and they couldn't find him. There must have been some places they didn't look, because they didn't find him. But they looked everywhere, and they couldn't find him. So they then went back and reported this to the sages. The list of persons that were looking include the ministers. And the ministers are different than the sages. We're going to hear tomorrow some difference between the two. The sages, ministers are intelligent kshatriyas, something like what Vasudev apparently was. Because Vasudev was born in a kshatriya family, Vasudev and Devaki, they're kshatriyas. But his role in relation to Ugrasena, and then after Ugrasena was, well, when Kamsa wanted to kill Devaki, he didn't use, like, you know, let's fight. He used his intellect, his power of reason, because he was a minister. He was a kshatriya of that type. So, similarly within government, since he gave reasons why this isn't a good plan, then he realized he's impossible. So I'll just face my word. I'll give you the children. You can kill the children. And Kamsa so much trusted the word of Vasudev that he released Devaki. He stopped. That's a lot of trust with somebody that's like a monster like Kamsa. So ministers have a particular role in government. You know, modern day ministers, it's another thing. It's elected by shudras, and so this, it's another thing. But real qualified ministers, they're kshatriyas, they're not brahmanas, but they have a very important function to play. So the ministers and the people in general and so forth, they came back and, because this, by this time the sages, headed by Bhrigu, so he's very clearly a brahmana. And the function of, mentioned in the verse, the function of the brahmana is to give advice to the kshatriya. The function of the kshatriya is to receive advice from the brahmana and administer accordingly. And so the duty of the brahmana is to know the scripture and be able to discriminate both jnana and vijnana, both theoretical and practical. Practical, how to apply practically and properly the principles of scripture. So theoretically, they understood that minus a king, then our good advice isn't going to go anywhere because there isn't someone to administer according to our good advice. And in the absence of a strong king or administrator, ruler, then the people in general will be unruly. Like, you know, quickly. The whole planet, the whole kingdom, which meant the whole planet, will become deteriorated. And specifically two qualities are mentioned, unregulated and independent. So, you know, how many people are regulated in Kali Yuga? They're not regulated. So, like, that's not a bad thing, being not regulated. But it's a bad thing. From the point of view of what's the goal of life? If the goal of life is sense gratification, it doesn't matter. If the goal of life is kshema darshanaha, that's the phrase that Prabhupada refers to in text one purport, like yoga kshema vaham yaham. This verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that he preserves what we have and carries what we lack. So the preserving, the protecting aspect of the king, that's a function of the Supreme Lord. He preserves. So the king acts as a representative of the Supreme Lord, and he preserves and protects. When you have a qualified person. And what is it that they're preserving and protecting? It's not sense gratification. It's not sense gratification. It's the people, the praja, should attain the spiritual platform. That's the duty of the king. That's what the brahmanas would teach them, and that's what the kshatriyas would administer. So if you don't have qualified brahmanas, then no one's going to understand what the goal of life is. And if you don't have qualified administrators guided by brahmanas, then they'll do what's described here in the verse or in the purport. The sudras elect people that are big sudras. The dogs elect the strongest dog. He barks the loudest and he has the biggest teeth. And so he gets, you know, he rules. And then they pass laws that don't have anything to do with the goal of life. And nobody's satisfied, so they want to get rid of that guy and get the next guy. He's got another set of teeth, or he's got claws in addition to teeth, or something. He smiles nicely, so he, something. Without knowing the goal of life. The sages knew the goal of life is necessary, and there's necessary to have someone to administrate. Because without that brahmana and kshatriya combined function, society becomes unregulated and independent. Independent is I'm not accountable to anybody. I can do whatever I like, and I know what I like. I like sense gratification. So here I go. And there's nobody to regulate me and nobody to check me. Therefore, the sages understood we have to have a proper king. So coming up is they make a bad choice. There are brahmanas that didn't have the vigyan down properly. They had the gyan down properly, but they didn't have the vigyan down properly. Like, who's a suitable candidate? Because selecting a wrong person, how is that any different than having no person? It's chaos or it's chaos. Varieties of chaos. There has to be a qualified person. Prabhupada would often speak about that. Whether the system is democracy, or whether the system is king, or whether the system is a dictator, or whatever the system is, given different titles to different systems, without a qualified person, it's not going to lead to well-being of the citizens, and in course of time there'll be a revolt from the citizens, and they'll have another system or another person because they're unhappy. It's not going to be possible without a qualified person. And what do you do in the age of Kali when you don't have qualified persons? Like, you know, get out of here because it's crazy. There's no qualified person. Or follow the system of the Bhagavatam, where it's a superlative challenge to make qualified persons out of unqualified persons. Victims of Kali Yuga become instead qualified brahmanas. Or, in the absence of a qualified kshatriya, the brahmanas take the position of kshatriya. One reporter once asked Srila Prabhupada, "Your Hare Krishna movement is growing so rapidly. Who knows, one day the whole world may be all devotees, and Swamiji, is it your idea that you would become the ruler and ruling over everybody?" And Prabhupada said, "No, no interest in that. I could advise those who are the rulers. That would be all right. I'm not ambitious to become some ruler." He wanted to train people. Just hearing a lecture on Prahlad Maharaj, where Prabhupada was describing the challenge of the Hare Krishna movement, of taking persons that are simply addicted to sense gratification, and detailed describing, like a man having multiple wives, each of the wives, when the man comes home at the end of his work day, pulling on the husband because he has multiple wives, "Come to my place, come enjoy with me, come and spend time with me." Like that, a person whose business is sense gratification, it's like having multiple wives and one's pulling this way and one's pulling that way. The tongue is going this way and the hand is going that way and the ear is going that way and the eyes are going that way, and they're never satisfied. It's a miserable condition. So after elaborately describing that, we've seen our artist's illustrations of that scenario. How to take those persons and make them into brahmanas? Very, very serious challenge. Prabhupada explained it very simply, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, now I'm a brahmana. Next. You got a sannyasi mantra for me? And chant that one. So obviously it takes, along with the chanting of the holy name, the proper application to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, how to lead one's life in a regulated way, accepting the principles of regulation because of one, understanding the reason behind following regulation, and on the other side having the purification capacity from the chanting of the holy name. And gradually, lifting the soul from the degraded situation to an elevated situation, that is becoming a devotee of the Lord. A qualified devotee is a brahmana, or the other way around. A qualified brahmana is a devotee, is a Vaishnava. And that's essential to come to that platform by means of purification. And Prabhupada was saying that's the mission. That's the purpose of this Hare Krishna movement. And he was just like this purport to make the whole world like that. At least extend the opportunity to the whole world. That's this great movement, Hare Krishna movement. So while presenting Krishna consciousness nicely and following it nicely, then these higher qualities become possible to manifest. Spiritual qualities, that's the main interest, is the spiritual quality. And from that spiritual quality, the carrying out of the higher duties of life. The higher duties of life are going back to Godhead, being situated on the spiritual platform, and from that spiritual platform, in the course of life, carrying out the duties of life. Just a little up-to-the-minute news sharing kind of thing. During this visit in South India, one of the places that we visited was Tirupati. And I don't know if any of you, whoever has been to the Tirupati temple knows what I'm about to say. It's gorgeous. It's the design, the artwork, the colors, the details. It's stunning, beautiful. And it's designed in such a way that there's many things that go on under one roof. The top floor is the temple. And then beneath that is like a store and kind of educational area. And then down below is another big hall, and like there's so many people constantly milling and all, each of those different floors doing different things at the same time. But the whole atmosphere is so, it's beautiful. And then it's a huge guest house. And so largely, just a few things, just some appreciation for Revati Raman in particular, the president. He started with, there was something, there was an old guest house that was in the back, and a small temple. That's when he became the president. And he decided, I want to build this on the strength of book distribution. So he established some relationship with the temple, up on the Tirumala Hill, temple authorities. It's called TTD. It's a government. They oversee the whole thing. So because of his manner and demeanor, they gave him some number of spots in very busy areas on the hills of Tirumala. And not entirely, but largely, the temple was built from the funds received. So going forward over time, two things. He was so much appreciative of the help to build the temple that the TTD had given him. Some dialogue with them, and he agreed to take responsibility for the lug glue tables. As we do book distribution tables, they have lug glue tables, and they have 30 of them. So they gave some of them to ISKCON, and they're so well managed that it's now down to 15 of them. As many lug glues as they can produce, we can sell in half the number of what they were doing before. And But now they're producing more luglus. So now they're making a plan to get it down to 10, because they can't produce more luglus, because it's so well managed. It's kind of like surprising to hear that ISKCON is being appreciated as being really good at managing things. But it's so, they're so good at managing that the TTD, they have a Sri Venkateshwara Museum. Big, like, it looks like a palace. It goes really far back, and it's, you know, very large, tall, wide, and deep building. And they're talking about turning that over to ISKCON to manage. And Revati Raman said, they're jokingly saying, you know, TTD, why don't you just give TTD over to ISKCON to manage? Because they manage all the enterprise over the whole thing. And those of you that were with us, one of the places that we went up on top of Tirumala, besides the seeing Balaji, Darshan, there's two other places, very large facilities. At Ananta Acharya's, the place where he resided under the direction of Ramanujacharya. And then some generations later, a Babaji, what's his name, Ram Charan, Hati Ram Babaji. And we went inside there, and the place is like, it's looks like a Babaji's place. It's like, it's very poorly kept. But when he was, Hati Ram Babaji was there, they gave him the keys to Balaji's temple. And they gave him the keys to the whole place because he was so intimate with Balaji. So they have property from the time that he was holding the keys. There's property that are Hati Ram Babaji ashrams all over the place and property owned by them. But they don't maintain them. Revati told me this separately. They have a nice relationship with the Hati Ram Babaji group. There's a place down at the bottom of Tirumala in Tirupati where Padmavati's temple is. Padmavati's temple. And there's a little story that when Padmavati and Srinivas were married, she had to bring all of her stuff from where it was previously to his place, and in the course of doing so, she forgot some very, very important thing. Curry leaves. So when she made her first offering to Balaji, she said, "Where's the curry leaves? You didn't bring curry leaves? How can you cook without curry leaves? It's not possible in South India to cook without curry leaves. Go find some curry leaves. And if you don't find curry leaves, then you just stay there wherever at the end of the day when the sun sets." So she was running all over Tirumala and Tirupati looking for curry leaves, and night fell. So now her temple is some miles away from Srinivasa's temple. Because of the intimacy that Hati Ram Baba had with Balaji, Balaji would come every evening and play a game. They'd say chess, but it wasn't chess, it's something more like what the Kauravas and Pandavas did, something to do with dice. Little table, and anyway, long story. But the deity left the temple and at night was hanging out with Hati Ram Baba. Every night. And then it was demonstrated, because I'll tell the story. One time when they were doing their program together at night, the evening was ending, so and the morning offering was going to begin, so Balaji went quickly back to his place for worship. But he left a diamond necklace. Diamond necklace. Many diamonds. Not like one diamond. Diamond necklace. So Hati Ram saw the necklace, so he was going to return it back. Balaji forgot his pearl necklace, or diamond necklace. When the pujaris opened the door, they noticed this diamond necklace was missing. They started blaming each other. Do you know who took this? Did you do this? I know he has to get his daughter married. Maybe he did it. Took the necklace. And here comes Hati Ram Baba saying, here's the necklace. Where'd you get this necklace? You're a thief. No, I didn't. Balaji just, you know, he comes at night and we play games together and we talk together and he just left it behind, so I'm just returning it. I didn't steal anything. Oh, this is ridiculous. So they took it to the main mahant, you know, the head administrator. And, you know, he's got to solve the problem with the pujari is saying, he stole the necklace. And the other saying, I didn't steal any necklace. The Lord comes and plays with me at night. And he left it behind. So the decision was made, all right, if the Lord comes and plays with you, then we're going to put you in a large room with big piles of sugar cane. And if he comes and has these intimate dealings with you, then let him come and like eat all the sugar cane. And we'll lock the door from the outside. And that sugar cane stack is there, you're going to be severely punished. So Hati Ram Babaji was praying to Balaji. I didn't do anything. You just left your necklace and I was just bringing it back. Suddenly a big elephant appeared right in the room and started eating all the sugar cane and smashing the sugar cane here and there. And the priest heard all this noise and he looked inside. They saw this huge elephant inside the room that was locked from the outside. And he's calling out to the elephant, my Lord, Srinivas, Hasti, Srinivas, what's going on? So they reported back to the Mahant, you know, there's an elephant inside the room. He's eating all the sugar cane. So after the Mahant heard this, and the elephant disappeared as mysteriously as the elephant had appeared, and he just gave the keys. You're the real thing. You're so intimate with, we're worshiping, and he's playing with you. And he appears as an elephant and eats all the sugar cane because we had this challenge. Here's the keys. So as he was intimate with Balaji, he was also with Padmavati. So once a year he would go down at the bottom of the hill in Tirupati and spend the day with Padmavati. So he would go to some quarters because he was a Babaji. Padmavati would leave the temple and spend time with him. And then at the end of the day, he'd come back because he couldn't, like with Balaji, he could spend the night, but not with Mataji, so he left. So now they have this annual ceremony where the ISKCON devotees are invited to have kirtan from the morning, and the deity of Padmavati is taken to the ashram of Hati Ram Baba. And they have kirtan all day long, and they have different, you know, brahmanas doing different things and ceremonies, and then the deity is taken back. There's another where Hati Ram Baba worshipped a deity of Balgopal, something like that. And annually, once a year, take the deity all over the place, all over Tirumala, and then down the hill to his samadhi, which is near another place, Papa Vinasanam Tirtha. So the devotees are doing the kirtan and proceeding. And so he said, One time they came and visited our temple, and they saw the temple, and they said, you know, you should manage our ashram. You should manage all of Hatiram Baba's properties, because we're not able to do it, and you're obviously able to do it. And they were serious. He said, no. Let me just manage what I have. Through the process of Krishna consciousness, the purport is, if one takes it seriously and properly, one can become qualified to do all types of activity. Brahminical, giving advice to administrators, doing administration, because that's also a very, very important service. Without administration, the whole situation goes down the tubes. That was what was happening, literally was happening, without the king, Anka. And big concern. So how do you, it's Kali Yuga, what do? We have a process of elevating of souls to that position where they can do better than the TTD. I mean, at least in that particular place, because there's a very qualified leader and a very qualified team. Another little compliment was during the Yatra, nothing in comparison to the volume of people that... How many buses were there in 65 buses? Do you know the number? Gopinath. Yeah. You don't need the microphone. How many? Over 200 buses. Huh? So we had a much, you know, smaller thing. There was a gentleman who was attending the whole, you know, from Puri to South India, and you know, the gentleman that always sat in the back with a chair and never smiled, had a cane, just kind of sat there and looked grumpy. At the end, you know, he and his group of people that they were together, he wanted to get some words in. I don't know what he wanted to say, but he really wanted to say something. And so, what is it, sir? He said, I'm 70 years old, and my life has been in the military. And I've seen groups of people moved by the military from one place to the next place. My whole life has been doing that, and I've never seen anything so well organized as this. And we were just like seat of the pants. We didn't really, because I asked our organizer later, how much pre-planning? He said, very little. It's the mood of the devotees were so cooperative, it just really helped. And then Krishna sent so many arrangements and doors opened that we didn't even have any idea. And things just started happening. By Krishna's mercy, the unqualified can become qualified. And in that qualification, one can do things if Krishna so permits and empowers, with enormous finesse, so that the citizens are not, the congregation, the prabhus, the Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, are not feeling discomfort. And if there is some discomfort, it's certainly tolerable because the Sangha is so wonderful and there's not whining and complaining and, you know, fault finding and carrying on and all that stuff. If by the process of Krishna consciousness, if it's applied properly. So they just needed, you know, Harinam Sankirtan and Srimad Bhagavatam classes every morning. But they didn't have that, so they had to make some other arrangement by the systems that they had. We're very fortunate to have such an empowering, cleansing, uplifting system. You know, it's a whole other thing to be a head of state or something like that, but within our own scope, to take responsibility for the well-being and spiritual lives of others and see to this goal, that the goal is all the great sages headed by Bhrigu were always thinking of how to elevate all the people of the universe to the spiritual platform. And that's the platform, that's the level that Prabhupada, he wasn't saying universe, he was saying in the world, but that was the vision that he had for the Hare Krishna movement. However, after the disappearance of King Anga, there was no one to follow the instructions of the great sages. We need qualified leaders that can carry out the wonderful instructions found in Prabhupada's teachings and that can come from proper chanting of the holy name. We require that. Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes, Jai Jagannath.
Even when there are qualified leaders, persons who are under such leadership not being very cooperative because of the Kali Yuga effect, that is also...
Well, part of a qualification of a leader is to bring people up. And certainly there are persons that don't want to come up. You know, their sensibility says, I'm very comfortable being not up. I'm very guarded in preserving my independence and my non-regulation. But nonetheless, a good leader will find those persons that do want to come up and bring them up. And, you know, so everyone will have the opportunity and take it or lose it. If there's a qualified leader, that's what will happen. Anything else? Okay. Yes?
Does it mean that everyone that's practicing Krishna consciousness will become a spiritual master?
That's what Lord Chaitanya said. Equal opportunity organization. Some may come to that standard, some may not come to that standard, but at least Lord Chaitanya's teaching is you make that effort to whoever you contact. We did this one yesterday or the day before. Tell them about Krishna. Tell them something about, you know, help them in the soul's journey. Somehow help them make another little doable step. Try. And that way, become spiritual master. It may be just showing them, you know, here's a card to the temple. Or here's some prasadam. Or exhibit the qualities of a Vaishnav so that they can become attracted to what they don't even know what it is, but it's the qualities of a Vaishnav. So be instructor by example, maybe not by precept. And that way, perform that function. Attract people to Krishna. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.